Thank you for listening to Ivy Podcast, where we feature weekly leadership conversations with thought leaders and industry experts. Now, here is your host, John Karsibayev.
Hi, everyone. I'm Alex Reynolds. I'm the VP of Platform Solutions at Shutterstock.
Alex, thanks so much for making time to join us on the Ivy Podcast. I have quite a few areas I want to touch upon regarding your current role within the organization and Shutterstock overall. But before we do that, give us a thumbnail version of your career to date.
Well, I'm very excited to be here. Thanks for having me. Thumbnail version. So I started my career as a management consultant. Great place to start right off the bat. You worked with a ton of great people, exposed a ton of new business problems, mostly focused on growth strategy, M&A. As part of that, I was able to do what's called an externship with a startup on the West Coast, a travel startup, and fell in love with kind of the startup lifestyle, wore all the different hats, and from data to marketing to recruiting. And it was my first real exposure to strategic partnerships. Spent a few years out on the West Coast doing partnerships, building deals with companies like Uber, Apple, OpenTable, TripAdvisor. And one of those deals led me to Shutterstock, where I've been for the last 6 years and started in biz dev and have kind of transitioned into this role on Platform Solutions.
Oh, that's very exciting and very diverse background. Thank you for the overview. Appreciate that. So tell us a little bit more about your current role within the Shutterstock, and for those that are not familiar, maybe a little bit of an overview about the company.
Sure. So Shutterstock, mostly known for stock images. I would say we're a creative platform offering images, footage, music, tools, and services for creators to build any kind of project. So we've got content in a lot of the mainstream Hollywood movies, all the way down to helping a hardware store kind of with their advertising and having a better presence online. So my role with Platform Solutions is all about making all of our content, our technology, our tools available on third-party platforms off of Shutterstock.com. So we have about 8,000 integrations all over the web, and making that content available into platforms like Facebook, Google, Microsoft, Amazon, Snap, that kind of thing.
Oh, that's very exciting. And when you talk about Platform Solutions, just explain that a little bit further in terms of what falls under your purview, what area of responsibility, how does that tie into the overall ecosystem within the Shutterstock?
Yeah, totally. So maybe helpful to kind of start with, the origins from business development. So when I started, I was doing all kinds of strategic partnerships. We had a partnership with West Elm to have our content in West Elm stores for brand awareness. And the team would be very involved in kind of these, market expansion opportunities. So how do we think about our China strategy? Or how do we think about a new asset type beyond images or footage? How do we want to think about custom content? And one portion of what this team did were these API partnerships, these integrations. And so when I started, we had a few marquee relationships with companies like Facebook, where, any Facebook advertiser could use our content within Facebook. They didn't have to have a Shutterstock account. They didn't even need to know who Shutterstock is. They were able to get our content quickly and effectively on their sites. And, it became apparent pretty quickly that this sort of side project could be a major growth engine for the entire company. And so have built the team up from about two folks to now about 75 and have built the revenue up. And, today it's really any type of platform partnership that we do. So any type of integration that we have, anywhere that somebody's accessing Shutterstock that's not on Shutterstock.com, whether it's in a digital asset manager, if it's in Dropbox, in Google Drive, a website builder, right? All of those integrations, those 8,000 are all in our team under my purview.
Got it. No, thanks for that explanation. That makes perfect sense now, especially with you know, the collaboration and the partnership opportunities with, you know, companies like West Elm that you would never think from that perspective. But when you explain it in, you know, from that standpoint, it makes perfect sense from the business development and growth and the overall strategic partnerships. I think that's very unique value proposition. So one thing that you and I have briefly touched upon as we were planning this episode, and we talk about this a lot with a lot of my other guests, is around innovation. And when you and I were talking about the overall concept of intrapreneurship came about, not so much from the entrepreneurship, but intra, especially when it comes to building and fostering that type of culture and environment within the organization. So share with us any of the practical recommendations or the strategies that really helped you hit the ground running from building such an environment as you entered Shutterstock, and that was the overall vision. Share with us any case studies or anything from that standpoint that would be very helpful.
Absolutely. So I think I mentioned a little bit earlier that, you know, we saw this massive opportunity to build out this business as platform solutions and really be a growth engine, a growth driver. But in order to do that, we were going to need, you know, to support this in a significant way, right? So we had, again, only two people on the team. We didn't even have dedicated, you know, developers or engineers, dedicated marketing. So when I looked at it, you know, really felt like building a company within the broader organization. And, you know, to support that as an organization, that's a really special value proposition. Not every company is really open to that. And we didn't really have anything, you know, developed at that time. And this wasn't a common practice at Shutterstock. And so initially it was very much kind of leading by example, pulling on some of the consulting skill set of, you know, putting a business case together, thinking through, you know, what would actually be required to bring this from essentially from zero to one, right? From this sort of side project or part of what the team did to a full-on business unit within the company. And so, you know, really treated it almost like a fundraising round, you know, put a deck together, had all of the projections, the hiring that we had to do, the financial model, and kind of paved a path to say, you know, this is what we think we can do. Here's the investment that we need. And then as that was approved, all of a sudden we were, you know, we were kind of off to the races and then opening those opportunities for not just my team, but for others as well.
No, that's very interesting, especially, you know, for an organization of the size of Shutterstock. You know, the overall environment of entrepreneurship, I would imagine that's, you know, there's a lot of value in that sense, where you also allow the teams to take on almost these experiments and be able to deliver value. You know, when you think of innovation, is, you know, first things come to mind are those grandiose, groundbreaking ideas. But a lot of that really boils down to even the smaller improvements that could be made to, you know, an internal process. So I think the overall concept of entrepreneurship, that's where that comes in, to give the employees and everybody else the autonomy, resources, and, you know, whatever the case may be, to take on such experiments, to take on such projects. So what does really kind of that culture of entrepreneurship really mean for Shutterstock, and what's the vision there?
Yeah, I think you hit on some key points there, right? I mean, I think you need to be comfortable with almost cannibalizing yourself, right? So someone's going to cannibalize, and as you're on the forefront of innovation, you're naturally, there's going to be some friction there, but you have to be comfortable with you know, running up against that and understanding that it's better to cannibalize yourself instead of letting somebody else do it from the outside. And then, you know, definitely about being open to those experiments and understanding that not all of them are going to pay off, but, you know, the ones that do end up doing so in a big way. And so how do you make sure that you're creating an environment where people can move quickly, set those types of you know, pilots up, those you know, those POCs, right, proof of concepts, and then having clear milestones around, you know, we're gonna let this run for 3 months, 6 months, a year, and let's have clear guidelines after that point to understand, you know, is this a no, or is this a go?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think when I think from the overall organizational perspective, it's quite an investment, I guess, from Shutterstock's perspective to to build such environment, to allow the all of their workers to take the time out of the day to actually invest into that and work on some of these, like you said, the prototype and POC MVP type of projects. Very interesting. So how, aside from providing such an environment and the time to be able to work on such projects, are there any other areas where the organization at large invested into building such environment? What were some of the examples from that standpoint?
Yeah, so we've set up a process now so that anybody can come forward with a business case, with an idea, and we've set up the environment so that there's a way to get that through to those different kind of milestones that I mentioned before. And it really is kind of seeing all of the success stories that have happened. So Platform Solutions is one, but as you see more and more of these teams going through that process and standing up these kind of centers of innovation and pockets of innovation, it almost becomes infectious from an energy perspective, right? Where people are seeing that and they want that and they want to go and build and try something, and just knowing that even if it doesn't work out, that there's really good, I don't know if it's career pathing, but really good processes in place to make sure that we're integrating that talent back into the organization. So it's sort of a safe environment to take risks and to really go out there and try and make something happen. And if you win big. If you don't, then you're going back to your team, or you're going to a new team with lessons and experiences that you wouldn't have otherwise had.
Right. Absolutely. No, that's very exciting to have an environment as such. So as you were starting out, and for any executive at any organization, surrounding yourself with the top talent is at the top of your mind 24/7, whether you're actively recruiting or not. I would imagine that's the case for you as well. So as you were entering Shutterstock or any other of your previous projects, talk to us a little bit of strategies, really to attract the top talent, but also retain and foster a great teamwork environment. Any recommendations from that standpoint when it comes to talent acquisition?
Absolutely. It's probably the topic I spend the most amount of time on these days. And it's, companies talk a lot about customer acquisition and customer retention, but I think, at the end of the day, a company being successful is all about their people. And so to me, talent acquisition and talent retention is like the most important topic. And it's tough. I mean, I think from an acquisition perspective, it's really making sure that you're, running a great process. And, what I mean by that is there's so many different steps that we do as part of our interview process. So for example, we have a different type of exercise for pretty much any role that we're hiring. We want to put people in real world situations to see, how they're going to do the role. If we can, we'll do a trial run to have people actually coming in and being a part of it, just to make sure that it's a good fit on both sides. And then, from a kind of an acquisition and retention perspective, it's all about creating an environment where people are going to want to stay. They're going to have that buy-in and that, that drive. And so, I think about entrepreneurship, setting up an environment where people feel like they can be challenged and they can take risks and they can, really kind of stretch their wings, and always make sure that you're giving them new opportunities to run at, ultimately sets up an environment where people feel like they're growing. It seems like, one of the main reasons why people leave a company is because they want to go on and take on a bigger challenge, right? And take on more responsibility. And so if there's a way that you can set them up for a very similar path within the organization to allow them to spread their wings, then, you eliminate one of those key reasons why people do leave the company.
Right. No, absolutely. I'm pretty sure we could probably spend the rest of the episode talking about this particular area, because it's so interesting to me, because it's also very challenging. The other challenging aspect of when it comes to building the team, surrounding yourself with top performers, is the entire, you know, the interview process, because it's an art and a science, right? It's very difficult to master. It's, I've never seen anyone yet to be really, really good at interviewing. It's because at the same time, it's a very short opportunity to get to know somebody and really make that quick determination if they are the right fit for you, and also vice versa. If you are the type of leader that fits their type of personality or what they want to accomplish, and the same thing with the environment and the culture. So tell us a little bit about your approach to interviews. How do you go about that? What does an interview with Alex look like in general? And more importantly, what do you look for in your responses when you talk to folks?
Absolutely. And you're spot on. I mean, I think that's an area that's ripe for disruption from a startup perspective, right? I mean, if you make a bad hire, you know, the pain is typically 10x the compensation of that person. And so if you compound that over time, it's just really tough to make when it doesn't work out, right, for either the candidate or for the company. So for me personally, I mean, we do a bunch of different types of interviews. We have kind of the traditional behavioral interviews, and then we have exercises where we're putting people in real world situations. And then oftentimes we'll do kind of just a hangout and meet the team and see how you're interacting, with the rest of the group. But for me, I mean, in terms of what I'm looking for, it's a lot of it is about kind of the passion and how you structure your answers. So we want to see people that can put a framework together and can kind of structure their thoughts and walk through, a problem, but then really just bring passion and excitement. I mean, it's, you know, it can be intense, or it can be I don't know what the right word is, but you know, there's it's a slog, right, when you're building something new. And so you want to know that people get energized and excited by that, as opposed to, you know, moving away from that. Because ultimately, you know, I've spoken to a ton of candidates that are really intelligent, bright, very accomplished, but if it's not a fit, if you don't kind of see that the environment is going to set them up for success and enable them, then, you know, it they could be the smartest person in the world or the most accomplished person in the world, but it's just not going to get to the outcomes that either side wants.
Right. Absolutely. No, I love these perspectives from the interviewing standpoint. So as you identify talent, recruit, and interview, and you select and you hire, your team scales, your team grows, obviously it comes with its territory, a whole new set of challenges as the team expands and the size of the organization in general. How do you maintain that environment of, you know, entrepreneurship, the kind of the whole vibe that, you know, you are almost the mini CEO of that, the project or the experiment that you're running? Tell us a little bit about that approach from the standpoint, really maintaining that particular environment as the company scales, as the team grows.
Yeah. I mean, it can be challenging, right? I think, and that's as you know, companies and team scale in general, right? That is one of the major challenges. How do you keep that? I think for me, it's all about empowering the folks, you know, my leaders, and then in turn, their leaders empowering them. So I feel very fortunate that, you know, when my team was four people, the three others besides myself are still here working in Platform Solutions and have built teams of their own. And so as we kind of defined the culture together and collaborated and had those, you know, long nights and figuring out, okay, what do we really want the culture of this team to be? Those leaders have now gone and built their own teams and have kind of established that with their folks and have empowered their folks. And, you know, when someone new joins the team, you know, let's say they're in a role where they're trying to do new partnerships. You know, I was in that role once upon a time. I was the one going out there and having, you know, building those new relationships. My leaders have also kind of walked that walk. And so knowing that your sort of leadership level has been in the role that you've been in, and that there's this path to really expand and grow and develop, I think is really encouraging and helps sort of, you know, foster the idea that, like, hey, this team is going to be 2x, 5x, 10x where we are right now. And so we're all growing together and we're really still on the ground floor.
Right. Absolutely. I'm pretty sure it's not an easy feat. It's not an easy task, to accomplish as such, especially for teams or organizations of that size. So as you progress and you succeed in that particular environment, and the other organizations that you partner with or you've been part of, where you see the objective is somewhat of a similar challenge to build that culture of entrepreneurship, some companies do well, some don't. What are some of the pitfalls that you see companies fall into? What are the recommendations that you may have for them to, basically take some of the lessons learned from your experience, apply to that, and be able to succeed or increase their batting average when it comes to building that type of environment?
Yeah, totally. I mean, first I would just say, I don't think it's for everybody, right? I think as a company, you really need to decide, is this something that you want to support or not? And, really it's, are you comfortable kind of setting up an environment where people can, to your earlier point, right, they can go off and spend time on this, they can take risks, they can potentially, grind up against other parts of the organization. And, it is something that is not for every company. I think for us, it's worked and it's unlocked a lot of growth and a lot of, energy and excitement. But, I would sit down and sort of say, are you comfortable with some of that friction? And if you are, and I would recommend to any company that they should be, because ultimately, if you set up that environment, it's kind of a low risk, high reward endeavor, right? If it doesn't work, you've allocated some time, some resources towards this. But if it does work, and you are able to unlock growth, you might be, just fascinated by the new types of opportunities that you never would have thought of. I mean, again, most people don't think of Shutterstock as, this integrated technology company where we're, doing a sort of like computer vision deals and things like that. But a lot of that innovation has happened in platform solutions and in turn has then kind of gone out to the rest of the organization as well.
Right. No, it also makes me think from a startup perspective, because at the beginning, it's so easy to do that. But as you scale, as you grow, I think that becomes a completely different task on its own to be able to accomplish as such. So that's very interesting. I love areas like this. So the last portion of each episode, I love to talk about some of the sources that you utilize on a daily basis for learning, self-actualization. What is your content diet is looking like? Share with us those.
Oh man. I'm a big Twitter and Reddit person. So I've kind of curated my Twitter digest and then also Reddit. And I think most people are obviously very familiar with Twitter. So on the Reddit side, I think, just curating subreddits is critical, and making sure I've kind of gotten rid of all the meme stuff and have really put in, there's a subreddit for SaaS, there's a subreddit for entrepreneurship, there's subreddits for crypto. So, it's kind of the things that I look for and see in innovation. And, those are kind of the two of the major sources for me.
Yeah, that's I can relate, because as you build your own little bubble with so much information being thrown at us and available out there, it takes a certain, discipline to be able to be, very selective with what you let your mind be exposed to when it comes to the, just so much information out there. Last but not least, what are you currently reading in terms of a book? And is there a book that you always recommend to others? And why is that?
Yeah. So book that I would always recommend is Who, the A Method for Hiring A Players. Just really strong book about, what it takes, going back to kind of the conversation we were talking about previously, right? Like, how do you identify top talent? How do you make sure that you're running a process that is, that is similar across all the different candidates? How do you handle reference checks? I actually got this book for all of my leaders about a year ago, and it's really enhanced our hiring process. So that's definitely one that I would recommend to anybody.
Oh, that's great. And thanks for that recommendation for our listeners. We'll make those titles available in the episode notes. Alex, can't thank you enough for your time today. Personally, it was a short but very insightful conversation. I learned quite a bit from this. What I love doing with all the guests on the episode, on the show is do a follow-up recording in about a year and see how much of change transpired, revisit the conversation from a year ago and see if everything that you and I had discussed still applies, still makes sense. So I'm definitely looking forward to that.
Yeah, I love that. That sounds great. I can't wait.
Thank you for listening to the Ivy Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to our RSS feed on ivypodcast.com and all major podcasting platforms like Spotify and iTunes. As always, if you enjoyed this podcast, please give us a rating on iTunes.